Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Monday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in our crew from the Sporting Tribune. Will, Steve, Jihei, Steve, Carpi, I'm going to start with you. We were at the last Pac-12 football game, and now we have also been to the last Pac-12 men's basketball game. You wrote a great column that is leading the Sporting Tribune about that and how it didn't need to come to that. Your thoughts as you were watching one last Pac-12 men's basketball game?
I was sadder about basketball than I was football.
And here's why.
I've spent most of my adult life writing about basketball rather than football. So it's a little closer to my heart. I covered a Pac-12 team when I covered Oregon back in the late 80s before I came to Las Vegas. So I have a connection with the conference, kind of an emotional one. So as I'm watching Oregon and Colorado Saturday night at T-Mobile Arena, I'm thinking to myself, this really sucks because it didn't need to end like this. And had it not been for the greed of the presidents and the incompetence of the commissioner, George Klobuchar, the Pac-12, which, by the way, did very well today, Sunday, when the field for the men's tournament was announced, and certainly for the women.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 should still be going, Arash. I'm sorry. It just, frankly, just pisses me off. Just really sad, really angry. And again, maybe because I was around the Pac-12. Actually, it was the Pac-10 when I was covering it. Utah and Colorado hadn't joined the league yet. But it's just wrong. I don't know how else to say it. It's just wrong.
No, I mean,
you're
certainly
a USC guy. What do you think?
I mean, it's still surreal, Steve, and I think you're right. I think when with the Pac-12 football championship at Allegiant Stadium, there was still enough time in terms of, we got the men's basketball season and the women's basketball season, but this was the final telecast for a lot of people who work for the Pac-12 network. This was the last Pac-12 game on Fox. I mean, this was it. Again, there are some Olympic sports and some sports that will continue. But for all intents and purposes, I mean, this was basically the end of the Pac-12 as we know it for most traditional sports fans. So it did feel more like the end in a kind of a funeral. And to your point, I mean, if you just look at the Pac-12 women, I mean, seven of the Pac-12 teams are in the tournament. You got a one seed, you got a two seed, you got a three seed. I mean, you go down the list. I mean, you could, and I would not be shocked to see this, a Pac-12 team in the women's championship game. And again, you go back to football, Steve. Washington, they didn't win, but Washington was in the CFP national championship game. And again, these are, when you look at when USC and UCLA left, again, that was all about USC. They had to go with a partner. They kind of had to bring UCLA along with them. That being said, and we go back to Vegas for that Pac-12 football media day, the feeling at the time is the conference would continue. I mean, they would regroup. the 10 remaining teams would stay intact. They bring in two more teams and they'd move on. The fact that they disintegrated like that was so sad. Really, I mean, it's still hard to put into words, you know, what it was like to see the end of the Pac-12. Again, a lot of conferences will change, right? A lot of things will be changing in college sports. But the Pac-12 is the only conference, to my knowledge, that will completely go away. And that is crazy to me. Yeah. Will, you were at the Mountain West Conference, again, and I've told you this, and I really believe it. The best media seat in all of sports, and you go down the list of professional to collegiate. I mean, Will was courtside, and you could go look at his social. I mean, he had the best seat in the house. I mean, he was basically one of the players on the court. What was it like? Again, amazing atmosphere, by the way. Perhaps the best atmosphere of all the conference tournaments there in Las Vegas. What was that like, Will?
Well, the atmosphere, the Mountain West atmosphere is just second to none. I mean, at all the arenas across the conference, you have the Pit, which I think New Mexico is really pound for pound, one of the best fan bases in all of American sports. Colorado State, they draw a good crowd to Moby every week. And I think another story here in Las Vegas with, like, as we mourn the Pac-12, is kind of like the emergence of the Mountain West as, like, it could be like the basketball power conference out West. And maybe, like Steve's column said, they could get the T-Mobile slot in these conference tournaments in the next couple of years, and that would obviously take away the courtside seats we got.
Exactly.
I do think, like, the Mountain West does have great potential to build off this season and the six teams they got in.
All right, let's now go through some of the teams in our region. Again, we do a great job, I think, covering Southern California, Las Vegas, Hawaii. Let's go to Vegas only because UNLV women three-peat as the Mountain West champions. That being said, they've had a very hard time gaining respect. And I think with the seeding, I think that once again proved true. Steve, your thoughts on UNLV?
Disappointed for Lindy LaRocque. She's done an unbelievable job getting that program to this point. They deserve better than a 10 seed. Although you could argue that maybe they're better off as a 10 rather than an 8 or a 9 and not having to play USC in a second round game. You know, so sometimes you maybe should be glad for small things, for small favors. That said, the Mountain West, and I talked to the commissioner the other day from my other column on the Mountain West future in men's basketball, and I said, what are you going to do to get your women's basketball program to where you get rewarded and you don't get dinged for success like UNLV? And Gloria Neverett said that we've got to approach it the same way as the men. We got to play better teams. We got to beat them. We have to schedule up. We have to recruit better, and we have to market better. And she's right on every single count. For this, for Mountain West women to get the respect it deserves, it's got to earn it. Right now, UNLV has earned it, but they're not getting it.
Will, slight surprise there. Again, I think you were at the game. But, I mean, man, I mean, you would have thought they'd be like in 7, 8, or 9. Your thoughts on UNLV?
They should have been a 7, 8, or 9, like you said. I mean, they got hosed getting, but I do think the LA region is going to be good for them to get some fans there. But like you said, Lindy LaRocque, it sucks for her. It sucks for the whole program to not get that respect. And I think it is because the Mountain West, and I don't think it helped them to go to Seton Hall and lose to 30 by 30 in South Orange to them. Yeah. I mean, they did schedule up a little bit to get Arizona and Oklahoma, but I mean, like, they do need to do better with that. The whole conference does.
Yeah. As you mentioned, USC does get that one seed after winning the Pac-12 women's tournament. They will be at home at the Galen Center. To your point, Will, UNLV going to Pauley Pavilion, Westwood, to play UCLA. So, a perfect situation for the TST crew. So we'll have some Los Angeles and Las Vegas love there. Steve, The future of some of these programs, though, I think maybe a transitional phase here. With USC, I am going to give a mulligan to Andy Enfield for 1 year. And I think we touched on this. You know, USC is not a power basketball school. They are a football school. That being said, with the talent that they had with Isaiah Collier, with Bronny James, although obviously he wasn't there at the beginning of the season, with the talent that they had on this team, for them to play like they did this season was obviously, you know, was a surprise. Mm-hmm. I do think he'll be back, but your thoughts on, I guess, some of the schools in our region, UCLA, Mick Cronin, obviously not having a good season as well.
Yeah, you know, it's weird not having UCLA playing, you know, this coming week anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, considering, you know, a year ago they were in the West Regional, you know, Elite Eight. You know, they lost to Gonzaga. Then, of course, Gonzaga got drilled by Connecticut, which was no shame, you know, as what we saw with what happened in Houston. But it's going to be a new challenge for both UCLA and USC, along with Washington and Oregon, going to a Midwestern conference like the Big Ten, which has a great basketball tradition. I mean, you talked about the Pac-12's tradition, you know, starting with John Wooden. I mean, you think about some of these Big Ten schools over the decades and what they've done, you know, like Indiana and Michigan State, you know, on and on and on, Ohio State. I mean, it's not going to be that easy a road for these schools to compete right away in a very tough travel conference. Because, remember, you're not just going to Ann Arbor or Bloomington or West Lafayette. You got to go to Penn State, which is near impossible to get to.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Maryland. You're going to go to Rutgers. All right? I mean, you're going to go to places that are a long way, especially if you're Washington and Oregon. You know, you think about the travel they're going to do for basketball when they got to play, you know, at Maryland or at Rutgers or at Penn State. You know, forget about, like, you know, just going to Michigan State or Ohio State or Indiana and Purdue. I mean, this is tough travel.
Yeah.
And they're going to find out that this is going to be really hard. So if I'm Andy Enfield, I'm thinking to myself, damn, I better get some of that NIL money available to these kids so I can bring a team that's competitive. I'm going to get my, you know, my butt kicked, and I'll be out of a job.
Steve, you've been covering college basketball for quite some time. I wanted to see if you've ever seen a story like what transpired with Long Beach State with the Big West, where they fired, I mean, they essentially told him that he's not coming back prior to the conference. Dan Munson, again, got his start at Gonzaga, G. Hayes, his favorite school. Just kidding. She'll come on in the next segment and talk about Gonzaga. But I mean, again, Steve, we saw a lot of teams basically fire the coach immediately following their last game of the tournament. What I still don't get is why Long Beach State couldn't have just waited. They probably thought, Steve, again, they had lost five straight going into the conference tournament. So they probably thought it was a fait accompli that they're going to lose. Well, they go on to win three straight games, win the Big West. They're going to go up against U of A. You know, I don't think they're going to win that game, but it wouldn't shock me if they did. Have you seen like anything transpire like this in all of your years of covering college hoops?
Well, I mean, you know, when Tarkanian was here, he got to coach one last year knowing he wasn't coming back. And then, you know, it was actually kind of on a night like this. Well, actually, it was a couple of weeks before where they held the famous rally to keep him at the Baptist Church in West Las Vegas, and Tarkanian decided, hell, I'm going to, renounce my resignation. And, of course, it didn't matter in the end. He did have to leave, and they hired Rolly Massimino, and we all know what happened beyond that. But, yeah, I mean, look, You know what happened to that Utah State women's coach?
They
fired her right after they lost their first game. And then she had to go to the podium. And, you know, I think it was the student paper up in Logan that asked her how she plans to, you know, get the program going in the right direction next year. And then she had to say, well, I won't be me doing it because I'm done. I was fired. And, you know, wait till they get back to their campus before you let someone go. No. You know, same thing happened to Justin Hudson at Fresno. You know, after the game, it was already predetermined he wasn't coming back. And then, you know, Fresno State, give them credit. They played really hard in the time they were here in Vegas. I mean, they won a game, and then they lost. But, heck, you know, wait till the guy gets back to campus and let him know he's done. Do it the right. There's a right way to wrong way. You know, like Mike Hopkins from Washington.
Yep.
You know, Jared Haas at Stanford. These guys were dead men walking before they even came to Vegas. You know, these ADs knew, just like the AD at Long Beach knew he was letting Dan Munson go.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's a bad optic. And if I'm a player considering going to a place like Long Beach State or Washington or even Stanford, you know, I got to question what's going on with the athletic department, the way they treat their employees or the person who's going to be coaching me. I just think there's a right way and a wrong way to do stuff. And it wouldn't have killed Stanford to wait till they got back to Palo Alto to just quietly let Jared Haas know, hey, thank you for the 8 years you gave us. We're moving on. All right? I mean, to make the guy go to the media after the game at the Pac-12 at T-Mobile and, you know, and I don't blame him for being emotional. Same with Mike Hopkins. You know, these are tough situations. They have families. They have assistants. There's a lot of people that get connected to Division I college programs. It's not just the head guy or head gal. There's a lot of other people to consider. So I think a little empathy would go a long way if you're an athletic director.
There's no doubt about that. Will, I'm going to go to you first before I check in with Steve. Again, I say that these 2 weeks are my favorite 2 weeks in Vegas. Again, coming up on the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, I think there's no better place to be in the country than Vegas. And I even say that if you are live at one of these, you know, first round locations, because you just don't know where the best place is. So that first Thursday and Friday, when you got all these games going on, there's no better place to be than a sports book. But prior to that, with all these conference tournaments here, I think there's no better place to be for the conference tournament than Vegas. Will, you made your way around a few of them. What was a highlight for you? Whether it was something that happened in a game, someone you talked to, exciting. What was the highlight of conference tournament week here?
Down on this stage, like, and I love this city. I love living here, and I love the center of attention. And conference tournament week, it's the center of attention. You know, I tell my buddies, I feel bad for people that just get into college basketball when March, like, this tournament comes around, because conference tournament week is just as good. Like, there's just as many storylines. Like, the Long Beach State, Dan Monson, him sticking around and winning the conference tournament. You got Temple 15-19 going to the conference tournament championship game. Like, there's as many good storylines in these conference tournaments. New Mexico, we saw it run the table with their backs against the wall. Like, it's March epitomized, and I think that's awesome.
Steve, you were at the Pac-12, Mountain West. You went to the WAC as
WCC.
Well. WCC. We had all this
WCC,
stuff happening.
WCC, that's right.
Last 2 minutes, again, it doesn't have to be, like, on the court, but What was the highlight? And again, sad that this is the last Pac-12 tournament here, but again, amazing conference tournament weekend, week here in Vegas. What was the highlight for you?
Just the way people flock to the city to watch basketball. And it didn't matter which tournament it was. It could have been the WCC, Monday and Tuesday, packed to watch St. Mary's beat Gonzaga. And good for Randy Bennett He's a hell of a coach. You know, he's stuck in that little school up in Moraga, and he does an amazing job year after year. And then, you know, just see the Thomas and Mack with Utah State fans, New Mexico's fans. Will touched on this, how much he respects what is going on in Albuquerque at the Pit and stuff. San Diego State. I mean, it is such a good atmosphere, and you just go around the city and you see people talking basketball, and it just, that's what makes it fun. Every day you go to the gym, you go to the arena, and everyone is talking hoops, and it's cool. Like, you see Phil Knight at a game, and, you know, I mean, yeah, he's there because it's Oregon, but, you know, it's still cool that he's there.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it's why it's the best place to be, and you guys know this. I mean, it's different when you have a tournament in Las Vegas. People generally look for an excuse to come to Las Vegas. So if your team, and even if they're, you know, the 12th place team in the Pac-12, you're like, I'm just going to go see my team play. I'll maybe hang around, watch some other teams play. So, again, hopefully, you know, the Big Ten or the Big 12 or some other team takes the place of the Pac-12 during conference tournament weekend. All right, let's leave it there for now. We'll come back with Steve, Will, and G-Hay to talk a little bit more hoops when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome back the TST crew, Steve, Will, G-Hay. G-Hay, you had some technical issues, but this is the moment where I come to you for all your expertise for college hoops. Nobody cares more year-round about college hoops, high school recruiting, than G-Hay Wiley, my dear friend. Okay, Selection Sunday was yesterday. I need to get your thoughts in general, just big picture, and then you could obviously give your thoughts on your beloved Duke Blue Devils. But what are your thoughts on the men's bracket first?
Well, super excited for Long Beach State. Go Beach. That's my actual alma mater. So
that's right. Wait, geez, go start Beach. There. That is the story of college hoops, and we were in Vegas as that was playing out. Surreal.
Great. What a great game, right? What a phenomenal game for them to be able to come back from. So I'm super psyched for them. Well, I guess we can't really call us Niners anymore. I think they took away that mascot. But, you know, Dirtbags, Beach, whatever you want to call it. Ten different mascots, guys. Yeah. We got, like, we're just like Stanford. We got, like, a bunch of different mascots out there. But, yeah, super psyched for the men's program for Long Beach State. Really unfortunate. I love the drama that's coming with all of this. The 5-game losing streak, and then all of a sudden we go on a tear, go on a roll. Unfortunate about the coach, you know, quote unquote, parting ways with the organization. Just shows you how inconsistent kind of our athletic department is there. But nonetheless, congratulations to Long Beach State, even though they're in an uphill battle to play Arizona. I don't want to say I feel bad for this team, but I feel bad for this team because I think they got the shaft when it came to their seeding and who they have to play in their division on the East. And that's UConn. Man, they got screwed. Like, they just got royally screwed when it came to just so many great talented teams getting into their bracket for them to be able to get to the Sweet 16. And I just, it's going to be an uphill battle for them. If they can hit from the three and continually be fire from the outside, I don't see them. If nobody can contain them from the perimeter, they're going to be phenomenal. I would love for them to actually pound it down there and see what Klingon has to offer, because he can be great. He can be so great. And I'm not saying he's not great. I'm just saying he can be greater than what I think everybody else sees him as. So looking forward to that bracket, obviously. You know what, to be honest with you, this is probably the first year for Duke that I don't care.
Okay.
I'm at this realistic point in my fandom with the Brotherhood that, you know what, I think I might be rooting for the Sisterhood a little bit more than rooting for the Brotherhood right now. Yeah. With them getting into the tournament seated seventh. So I hope for the best. I'm expecting the worst. I'm expecting Sweet 16, and that is it for those Duke Blue Devils. Congratulations, obviously, to the Pac-12 for getting as many bids as they possibly could in there, because this is obviously the last year for that conference to really, truly be considered that conference this year. So congrats on that. Sorry for your Trojans there, Arash, not qualifying.
They were bad for such a long time. Let's put it this way: the men's team wasn't gathered around a television on Selection Sunday. This has been a long time coming. So, but I have been so blessed with this USC women's basketball team, because I had only heard about the glory days of Cheryl Miller and Cynthia Cooper, and again, so for the first time since 1986. The USC women's basketball team has a one seed. They host a game at the Galen Center, the first two rounds. So I'm stoked for that. But yeah, listen, this will be the first season, I think, and I didn't do it just because it wasn't a part of any bracket challenge I was a part of. And I don't think I did it last year. I mean, this is the first year that I will happily and proudly do a men's bracket, any women's bracket. And we should do one as well here at the Sporting Tribune. Again, we have some time to think about who we have coming out of both brackets. But just like your initial like knee jerk here on a Monday, do you have who do you have winning the men's tournament and the women's tournament?
I mean, I know we all hate chalk, but UCO and UConn all day. I mean, if you can stop the perimeter, their perimeter shooting, and they can figure out going down low offensively, they're ridiculous, man. I've been watching them all season long. They're the one consistent team that has played like they deserve to be there, and they are championship worthy. So I personally, UConn, I don't foresee anybody really truly upsetting them unless some fluke happens where it's kind of like with the Creighton game. Yeah. But I mean, I don't even see that happening, to be honest with you. That being said, for the women, I would love to see an upset. I'd love to see Caitlin Clark get that chip before she goes to the WNBA. Congratulations to Iowa for getting that number one seed. Yeah. I won't see that happening. Dawn Staley is just a beast. You cannot deny how great as a player she was. And how great of a coach she is. She, by the way, has a brand new starting five for these South Carolina Lady Gamehawks. Brand new starting five from the year before. She had to start all over again. And it's just, she has that culture. She just has something in South Carolina there that just nobody else can repeat. Nobody else can duplicate. So I'm going with chalk here. I'm going with both the number ones. I'd love to see an upset though. I would love to see an upset. I'd love to see somebody, you know, get up there. It ain't going to be Gonzaga. That's for sure. I'm still sticking by my guns with that one. It's not going to be Gonzaga. But I definitely think that, you know, unless something crazy happens, like knock on wood, I'm doing it right now, that Klingon doesn't get hurt. But if they have such size, unless you're against Purdue, it might be not easy for them, but less difficult than other teams because that's how stacked they are. They also have some great perimeter shooters. They have some great defenders that they, they're not they're like in the top 15, top 20 in defense. So there's that, and at least they have that going for them. So it'll definitely help out their cause to win the NCAA title. So
yeah, no doubt. Will, you have a story in the Sporting Tribune Monday looking at how some of the teams in our region that are going to be in the tournament. I would, and I'm not biased here, I mean, if a team in our region, so the California, Vegas, or Hawaii, were to win it all, I think USC women as a one seed probably has the best shot. UCLA women are a two seed. But again, your thoughts. Who from our region has the best chance to win a title?
Got in on their preseason games, kind of like what they accomplished over the season, because the American Conference is not a good basketball conference, and they limped through it, all things considered. So, I mean, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, Carpy, where are you at when it comes to snubs or when it comes to teams that shouldn't have gotten in?
Well, I thought St. John's and Seton Hall deserved more consideration than they received. And I'm still not quite sure that Mount West deserved six. I mean, honestly, all right, you look at the way they were seeded in the tournament. You've got Nevada, you've got Colorado State, and Boise, you know, all double-digit seeds. All right, San Diego State got a five seed. And, you know, it just tells you that the Mountain West, yeah, all right, it was a good year, a really good year. But when you put them up, their resumes against the rest of the country and the rest of the field, it's not that outstanding. And so we'll see how they do in the first week. But if I were a betting man, I'd be looking to take each opponent of every Mountain West team that's playing in the tournament and see where it takes me. I may go broke. I may wind up going to Michael's for dinner at the South Point.
Oh, there we go. Now we're talking.
But I wanted to say, look, I've done this mock committee thing in the past when I was at the Review Journal covering college basketball. All right. I spent 2 days in Indianapolis doing what the committee does. And let me tell you, it is not easy being that committee. There is so much information, and this year especially, they were up till 2:30 last night watching games because they're trying to figure out, all right, what do we do now that NC State is in? They took a bid. What about Long Beach? You know, you go down the line, New Mexico. I mean, it didn't make it easy for the committee to figure out who was in. Usually it's a seeding issue. You know, maybe they screw up with one team that got in that shouldn't have. But normally it's the seeding where everyone's bitching and moaning. This year, it was both. Teams were seeded too low. Teams that should have gotten in didn't get in. And then, you know, I saw the NIT, when it announced its bracket, several teams took a pass. Said, no thanks, we're not playing. Yeah. And I guess Tom Crean went on ESPN
just
ripped these schools for turning down bids to keep playing basketball. Now, that's a coach talking there, because if you're a basketball program and you have a chance to keep your team together for a few more days, like UNLV is going to do this week, even though they got to go all the way to Princeton, New Jersey to do it, I think it's a good thing. And I've covered when UNLV had to play in the NIT and they didn't want to play and guys didn't want to get on the bus to go to the airport. It's hard on the ego, but if you truly care about your teammates, you're playing. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, and I think quick. I think that Pitino did a great service for those kids by saying no to the NIT. I think he did a great service. They do not deserve to be there. They deserve to be in the tournament. That was one of my biggest snubs.
Yeah, all right, but hang on a second. All right, if you're Rick Pitino and you did what you did a few weeks ago to motivate your team when you ripped the hell out of them.
Yep.
Okay? You should want to play with the NIT and stick it to the NCAA committee for snubbing you. You know, there's only going to be two teams at the end of this whole thing that can say they cut down the nets. The team that wins the NCAA tournament and the team that wins the NIT in Indianapolis. If I'm Rick Pitino, I want to be that team. I want to be at Hinkle Fieldhouse at Butler, climbing up that ladder. And then I can go by the NCAA office and say, here, here's the net. Thanks for nothing. But no, you know, it's, look, the whole thing is just so crazy. It's every year we go through this whole thing. It's a rite of spring. People get angry when their team gets a bad seed or don't get in or they got in. And, you know, it's just, you're never going to please everybody. It's a thankless job.
Tom Crean's point, and I just want to get your thoughts here, and then you could respond to what Steve said. I mean, Tom Crean's point was, listen, if players don't want to play, if coaches don't want to coach, that's one thing. But this is the opportunity for a team to get one more game. And again, there's a lot of players out there, a lot of players on these teams. But this is like their last chance to put on their jersey one more time. Again, I love that it said Heinkel, because, I mean, that's such a historical place to play basketball. Like, why not give your players one more chance? And again, I know it's not the tournament, but your thoughts there. I mean, wouldn't a coach want his team? Again, that's one more week of practice, one more game. I mean, you're not going to get that chance again.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I get your side and you and Carpi's argument of, you know what, this is a great way to stick it to the NCAA. This is a great way to keep your kids together. This is a great way to be like, hey, this is the, you know, this might not be for the whole enchilada, but at least, you know, we can keep you guys together and you can play one more game. I don't want to play for the participation trophy. If I'm Rick Pitino, I'm playing for everything. I'm playing for the whole entire enchilada. I'm playing for the chip. Like, that NIT, forget you. I'm good. Like, we only play for championships. And that's something that he is changing in St. John's culture, in their locker room. He is changing that mentality. And he's saying, we don't play for NITs. We don't play for those, you know, small-time tourneys or whatever, or for those consolation championships. We play for everything. We play for it all. And I think that might be one of the messages, especially since he ripped into them earlier on the season, telling them how crappy they are and that they're not, you know, and kind of giving them a little negative uplifting moment or whatever earlier on the season. As a coach, for me personally, that's what I would be doing. I'd be like, if you want to change the culture, you want to change the recruiting process, because they're not getting kids from New York. They're not getting kids from their state. They're not getting those kids that they should be get, that St. John's used to get back in the day. Pitino's trying to change that, I believe. Pitino's trying to change that in the way that he's talking to those kids and he's trying to put that mentality out there. Again, this is just me thinking this and knowing this from like his past previous championships that he had with Louisville, that he had, you know, that he had in the past. And so I think that he's on that mindset of like, we don't play for second place and the NIT is second place.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I did want to get all of your thoughts on this. There's been conversations about expanding the field. Whenever you have bubble teams, you know, first ones out, like the last four in, things like that. I mean, 65. I mean, come on. I mean, we're now at a place with college football where we, you know, we're talking about a 14 team playoff, and that's crazy to think about. 65, I think, is enough. Will, let me start with you. I mean, there's talk about expanding the field, and I don't know whether they want 100 or what the sweet number is for some people. Should the field be expanded?
Absolutely not. It should not be expanded. And, you know, this is all just a ploy by the SEC and these big conferences because they want more of their fringe teams in. They want these, like, obviously the SEC got 9 teams, I think it was, in, and they want it to be 12. They want their whole league in. And, I mean, I don't think that's right. The mid-majors have to be playing for something. We just saw, I mean, San Diego State's still technically a mid-major. They went to the national championship game last season. We saw Butler make a run not even 20 years ago. Like, it was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, we see a mid-major run often, Loyola Chicago. Like, you're taking away the best part of March, the most memorable part of March, to what, line the pockets of some SEC commissioners? I mean, I think it's a joke.
Harpy, your thoughts on expanding the field beyond 65?
Well, I agree. We don't need to have 100-team field. I mean, this isn't AYSO soccer. Everybody doesn't get a participation trophy or ribbon. We don't all go to Shakey's for pizza after the game, win or lose. You have a whole season to build a resume. All right? Starting in November through December, conference play in January and February and into the first week of March. If you haven't done enough by then, you simply do not deserve to play in the NCAA tournament. Okay? So if Greg Stanky, the SEC commissioner, wants to rig it so that Vanderbilt gets into the tournament when they're 9-22, well, God bless them. You know what? Then leave the NCAA like you want to do for football anyway and go form your own basketball league. Have Fox televise it and let the rest of the NCAA play its tournament the way it's set up to be played. Okay? Because this is getting truly ridiculous that we're having this conversation every single year about expanding a tournament that already has a lot of mediocrity to it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about this, okay? The Mountain West has six teams. If they get a team beyond the second round into the Sweet 16, I will be shocked. And that includes San Diego State. And I love Brian Dutcher. He's a friend, and he's done an unbelievable job there on Montezuma Mesa. But the reality is, there aren't that many good teams.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, there are probably 8, 9, 10 teams that could win the whole thing. You know, UConn does not have an easy road to get to Phoenix or Glendale, but they're probably so good it won't matter because you have to beat these teams anyway along the way, whoever it is. All right?
Yeah.
But the fact is that you've got a lot of good teams, Houston, Kentucky, yeah. Iowa State, you know, T.J. Otzelberger, who coached here in Vegas, has done a great job with the Cyclones. You Harpy, just got to get hot.
Yeah,
and that's what San Diego State did last year.
Yeah, there's
they
no
got
doubt
hot
about
the right time.
Yeah.
Laurie Atlantic got hot at the right time. Harley Dickinson.
Yeah. So we're going to have you back on because you're very passionate about this. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.